That was prophetic over your lives as well, that song. And all your lives, he has been faithful. All your lives, he has been so, so good. And his goodness and his mercy, they're running after you. I prophesy that over your lives. His goodness and his mercy are chasing after you. With all the breath that you are able, breath return. Let every attack on the breathing of this woman of God be repaired. I just, that statement, with every breath that I'm able and more, you've given him the ability of your breath. Now see his restoration on your health, Sandy, in Jesus' name. He's been with you in the fire. He's been with you in the darkest nights. But I just believe and declare over you today that song was actually a prophetic utterance over your lives. That his goodness, his mercy are chasing after you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be with you. As it was announced, my name's Andy, and me and my wife Gina are the senior leaders of Family Church. And Gina gives her apologies. She's in Portsmouth speaking this morning, trying to sort Portsmouth out. You know, Portsmouth can be a real handful. So we sent Gina in this morning, but she gives her apologies and said she would have loved to been here and is here in heart. It's good to see so many people, visitors, friends, people come in just to pay respects to Chris and Sandy for what God has done through them in the last 7 years. And I can remember when we met and we sat in an Indian restaurant and we threw the challenge at you to take on the pastoring of Waterlooville. You guys by faith stepped in and you have done a superb job. And after the message, I know we're going to take time to pray for you and to pray for Ray and Sarah as well. But I want to speak today a message that fits with the moment that we're in. And I titled it, as I was writing it yesterday afternoon, Some Things Never Change. And that's our confidence in midst of transition. We can see the things that are changing, yet we set our eyes on the some things that never change. But God gives us stability to build a life upon, amen? Now this is a big day, a huge day. In three ways, this is a big day for Chris and Sandy. As you look at something that you've invested 7 years of your life into, that's something that belongs to God. It's the bride of a king. It's a big day for you as you hand over. And I know that these moments in concept can seem so easy, but when you walk in the reality of them, wow, there's a weightiness to them, isn't there? But I just see his goodness and his mercy on you today. He was sitting there just now, but this is a big day for Ray and Sarah. As they take on the mantle and the challenge of what happens next. And hey, when they sit in their seats, they'll get the blessing from that. But this is also a big day for the Waterlooville congregation. You know, this is a family thing. This is something that is big in your family. It's something that we're celebrating. It's something that we're honoring. And to me, my revelation of the church is very simple. It's a kingdom and it's a family. It's simple. That we're a kingdom expanding and a family being revealed. And when we speak today, we speak in the context of being God's kingdom on the earth, but also God's family on the earth. So this is a big day for the Waterlooville family, whether you've been here from day one or you've been here more recently. It's a day of change and changes, and different people welcome or fear change in different ways. And I remember somebody once said something along the lines of, the only thing that's really certain or constant in life is change. And change isn't bad, change is good. And God is in the change as much as he's in the non-change. So this is a day of change, a day of thankfulness, of change, of celebration around change and changes. And I can't stop hearing the David Bowie song in my head, ch-ch-ch-changes. That's because I'm older. There's some president that's saying, who's David Bowie right now? Yeah. Now, when we look at change or changes, we understand that the church is not exempt of change. The church, a healthy church, is not exempt of change, because the church is a living thing. And living things experience change. My family is a living thing. We've experienced changes of my children growing, getting married, having our first grandbaby, Daniel Enzo. There's change connected to something that's alive. See, the church is not an organization. The church is an organism. It's a living expression of the body of Jesus Christ on the earth. The day we forget that, we enter into dangerous days. Now, change for the church happens often around leaders and leadership. And like I said, this isn't a bad or a negative thing. It's something that's happened since the moment people began to do things for God. When you look at the history of the church and the story of God's people, you see constant change concerning people coming, people going, people moving, people shifting. It's when it happens on our watch or in our family, we can sometimes feel the pressure of it. But let us remind ourselves, we're a part of a kingdom that's always experienced change. I'm always amused in the Old Testament when you read the Old Testament and you get to that moment where there's a king, there's another king, there's a good king, there's a bad king, there's a king that loves God, there's a king that hates God, there's a king that reestablishes the worship of God, and then there's an idiot king that pulls it all back down again. It's like when they were up, and when they were down, and when they were neither halfway up, they were neither up or down. You read the book of Kings, and you see these moments, yet in the background is an unchanging God. That people come and people go. People do good. People do bad. Yet the history of the Old Testament is changes in leadership. You know, from Asa to Jehoshaphat, the names continue. But God was constantly moving people. And when we look into the New Testament, this is a reality also. There was a place called Antioch, and it was a place of coming and going. And in the Bible, you read of people like the Apostle Paul, who was very much an apostle and a bishop to the church. And he would come and he would remain for 4 years, 2 years. He would establish something. He would raise up elders. And then he would say, hey guys, I'm still in your life, but now I've got to go over here and do something else. And there was movement. And often people's responses to change were very different. Yes, Paul, we're sick of you, go. Others were like, no, you can't leave. But you see, in the Old Testament, whether it's the Old Testament and the kingdom of God and the people of God, or the New Testament and the church that we know today that's 2,000 years old, people are always moving. And moving is a good thing. Change is a good thing when God is the author of it. So with all this movement in the New Testament church, we see a church that remains strong through change. I believe that Family Church is a church that will remain strong through change if we don't leave or lose the core ingredients. Now, you look at the church today, and Family Church as a church is 28 years old in October. Man, that time has gone quick. 7 years must have seemed very quick. Well, for me, 28 years. I can remember 28 years ago when me and my wife heard God say, open the church in Portsmouth. And we said, yep. And all of a sudden, here we are 28 years later. It's amazing how time flies. But actually, we're not 28 years old. We're 2,000 and something years old. We need to identify with the one church on the earth that belongs to Jesus Christ. I'm not speaking of other churches, cults, that have nothing to do with God. I have no alignment with a cult or something that doesn't believe in Jesus, but to the Church of Jesus Christ, happy birthday. You are over 2,000 years old today. And though the changes through many leaders and times, you see a constant battle of the enemy to bring in things and the need of reformation and different seasons. The dark ages where it seemed the church was about to fade away. Then suddenly God breathed through Martin Luther and the church came. You can't kill something that God made alive. Yet we do experience change. But the reason the church remains is the church is not about people. It's about God. So here's three things I believe that if we keep them in place, though we transition, though people come and go, the Church of Jesus Christ will remain strong, purposeful, and changing nations. Number one, God doesn't change. Number two, Jesus is the head of the church. Number three, the Holy Spirit is real. And he's all we need to be everything God called us to be. Some things change, some things must never change. May we never change these three things. God is not changing. He doesn't change. Jesus is and will always be the head of the church. Senior leaders, other church leaders may come and go, but Jesus never goes. He remains the head of the church. And the Holy Spirit, we believe in family church, is very, very real. And he's everything we need for everything we've been called to do. So look at these briefly. Number one, we have confidence because of the unchangingness of God, his character and his ways. But in a world where everything changes, Virgin Media ring me and everything's changed since the last time I said yes to the contract. I go into shop and everything's changed. I have agreements with people and then everything changes. Life is like a waltzer. Everything's moving and changing. Have you ever been on a waltzer in a fairground? I used to live on Hailing Island and I hung out around the fairground, and waltzers were fun because you sat in them and you span around at the same time the floor was moving. It was just an invasion of senses of change. Yet that's what life can feel like sometimes. Yet we have an unchanging God. We have an unshakable kingdom and an unchanging God. In Malachi, the prophet announces this in chapter 3, verse 6, when he makes this incredible just statement, I, the Lord, do not change. So in the midst of change, our confidence is secure because God never changes. No politician, no parliament, no devil from hell can cause God to have to change. He changeth not. Number two, we have confidence today in the midst of change, which we're celebrating this change. It's change for Chris and Sandy, and it's changed for Ray and Sarah and their family. We have confidence because of the unchanging person of Jesus and his kingship and his rule. When we talk of kingdom, there has to be a king. When we talk of a king, that king is Jesus. When we talk of kingdom, we talk of rule and reign. Everything is okay because the rule and reign of Jesus Christ is unaffected by the changes of men. This is confidence. This is what makes us not have heart attacks when the unsaved world around us watches the news and can't handle any more information. We are rooted in something greater and stronger. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul announces to the church, oh Jesus, he is the head of the body, the church. You see, the church isn't an organization, it's a body. It may be organized, but it remains a body. The church is not a corporation, it's a kingdom. We may function as a corporation, but we are a kingdom. We are an organism. We are a living expression of God on the earth. Isn't it interesting? It says, and Jesus is the head. Then later on in scripture it says, and we are the body. Amen. Where the head is present, his authority, his rule and reign are present. His rule and reign is in his body, the church. Number three, we rejoice and have confidence that our helper and our ability. Chris and Sandy, you have known this. Ray and Sarah, you will know this. That our ability is in the fact and the truth that the Holy Spirit is real. He is real. He is not a concept. He is not a vapor. He is real. He is really here. He is really with us on the earth. And he's really able to make us be able to do the things we think we can, but also the things we think we can't. You see, we're a people of faith, which means often we come to a moment of conflict in our own understanding that leaves us thinking, I can't do this. But actually in that moment of weakness, we discover he's going to do it through us. His ability is our confidence. You see, faith is awesome. Faith will always bite off more than it can chew. Faith will always bite off. Mediocrity nibbles on the table of what's possible. We're a people of faith that bite off more than we can chew, because we know there's someone beyond us who's doing the chewing. I might get the CD. This is a good message. So our confidence today in the midst of change is these three things. God does not change. Jesus is the head of the church. And the Holy Spirit is real. And he's all that we need to do everything he's telling us to do. So our confidence today, though we love and honor people, is in something beyond people. Our confidence is in an unshakable kingdom and the unchanging person of Jesus Christ. I want to just lay that foundation loud and clear in the midst of this transition, in our comings and our goings. Our confidence is secure and stable because of an unshakable kingdom and an unchanging person called Jesus Christ. I love it when you read the book of Hebrews. It almost prophesies the moment that we're in. When it says, and everything and kingdom that can be shaken will be shaken. What an apt description of today. Not today. Globally today. But then it reveals this. It says, because then it reveals a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Our confidence today in any change or movement is in an unchanging person called Jesus Christ, King of Kings, eternal, and an unshakable kingdom. But if it could have been shaken, someone would have shaken it by now. Look around, and it reminds me again, revealing my age, of a rock and roll song. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. But we are not shaken, because we are citizens of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. This is where we draw our courage and our hope and our faith that bites off more than it can chew. Chris and Sandy, in handing over this child that you birthed and raised, in these things you find your confidence and hope. The child you saw born 7 years ago, that you raised to a point of strength. Look, man, that worship was so good this morning. I kept thinking, are you sure there's no musicians here? The way that you interacted, beautiful. That worship was so beautiful today. It was strong. But everything about Waterlooville is strong. This is strong. You've spent 7 years. And now it's like you're handing over a baby. I can remember when I put the hand of three of my children into the hands. Not so much my son, I was like, you'll be all right. But my two daughters, when I put their hands in the hands of the men, that we're going to now take care of them. It was a very significant moment. That's the only parallel I can give you regarding I know what you're feeling today. But in the midst of now handing over what God told you to birth, what you've faithfully raised, never quit, never walked away, been patient, been kind, kept on going when others wouldn't have. Now you're at a moment where you hand that baby and that child into the hands of another couple. How can you do that today? Because of an unchanging king, an unshakable kingdom. Because God never changes. Jesus is the head of the church. And the Holy Spirit is going to do exactly what Jesus wants to do. And no man can stop him. Which means he will be the keeper of the church. So as you hand over this baby, hand it over with confidence. Ray and Sarah, as you take now this child, take it with confidence and courage and faith, knowing that he's an unchanging God. Jesus is the head of the church, and the Holy Spirit is already here and ready to give you everything you need beyond what you think you currently need. So as you release the baby, have confidence you're releasing it into the hands of good people. I remember when I met you, Chris and Sandy, I remember you caught my attention in a crowd and I thought, they're an interesting couple. Ray, I've known you since you were a boy. I was there when you gave your life fully to Christ. I've seen you come into the church, serve the church, have times when you could quit, but you never quit. And you've always had my back and the back of my family faithfully since you were a child. You even got a mention in my book, Glass of Water. You're the only one that ever got a mention, so there you go. I have full confidence that the child that you're handing over, this beautiful body of people, the future of this house, is going to be safe in your hands. So, things may be different the next few weeks and months. Changes may be felt. But if we keep these three things unchanged, you will remain flourishing, thriving, and continuing in the purposes of God. I speak that over you as a church under the leadership of Ray and Sarah, and you as a couple as you step into your next. You do know you're not retiring, right? Okay, just want to make sure and remove any thought. You are refiring, and you are now changing an assignment and stepping into what God has for you next. Waterlooville, this is a good day. Have nothing to fear. In your hearts, be thankful for what you've known. But by faith, embrace what you haven't yet experienced. As you cheered on the leaders that brought you here, now cheer on the leaders that take you into your next. We have confidence. Why? God never changes. And his promises never change. Jesus Christ is the boss. He's the head of the church. And the Holy Spirit isn't in heaven, he's present here. Not just in the room, but in the lives of those who have received him. And he is the ability to be what we know we could never be and do what we never could do. Just before I hand over to Steve, I want to just give an opportunity. If this is your first time of meeting me, I'm an evangelist, and you never put me in a room without giving people an opportunity to receive Jesus, just in case somebody hasn't. Would you close your eyes with me for a moment? In a few moments, we're going to pray for Chris and Sandy, and we're going to pray for Ray and Sarah. But now I just want to give a moment, something that's always been in Family Church since day one. Is we say, if there's anyone that doesn't believe in Jesus, who has never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, we don't invite you into a religion. We invite you into a relationship with a God who will change your life, not just your eternity. Could we pray this together, please, church? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross to make payment for my sin. Thank you that faith in Christ produces a brand new life, a new creation, a life forgiven, a life filled with your Spirit. I receive the gift of salvation and welcome you, Holy Spirit, into my life. Just my every eye's closed, every head's bowed. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, maybe you've drifted and you know it's time to come back. Maybe you say, I don't know if I belong to him or not. Then you don't, because if you did, you would know. I want to give an opportunity for anyone under the sound of my voice. But if you prayed that prayer in your heart this morning, and you say, I mean that prayer, I'm going to simply count to three, and then I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to bring you forward. This is you saying, I prayed that prayer for me. That decision is now mine. As I count to three, if you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, or today you need to say, I bring my life to the King of Kings, I'm going to ask you when I count to three just to simply lift your hand. One, two, three. God bless you. One, two, three, four. That's beautiful. Five. That's beautiful. Is there a sixth person? Don't look around. This is a private, holy moment. Five hands saying, Jesus, be my Christ. Be my Lord. Is there a sixth before I just pray? Father, I pray for these who have responded. I pray for these men and these women. And I pray that heaven would burst open in their lives. I pray protection from religion. And I pray that today a journey of relationship would begin. Fill them, Holy Spirit, with your life and your joy and your power. Thank you that in a moment they became born again of your Spirit. For this we give you praise. Amen. Come on, someone celebrate. Come on. Come on. I don't want to make a spectacle of anyone, but I want to say to those who lifted their hands, well done. That's the best decision you've ever made in your whole life. Also, we've got some things for you. We've got Bibles, and we want to just say, how can we help you take your next step? And so after the service, if you want to come to one of your last duties, how's that? As a Chris and Sandy, and let's just make sure we've given you what you need. We don't want to ever send anyone out saying what just happened. All right? Amen. Let's hand over to Pastor Steve.